In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, the 19th of January. Good as always to have you along, everybody. That was, of course, Mick Mulvaney back there in his capacity as the director of the Office of Management and Budget with the shutdown branding phrase of the day. Clever, yes, but not really all that funny, right? Given, you know, the proper functioning of government in this economy. That, I know you're shocked, is where we're going to start for the next 5 minutes or so of live radio. Today, Catherine Rampell writes for The Washington Post. Sudeep Reddy is at Politico. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
So, Catherine, I called it yesterday an idiotic way to run a $19 trillion economy. Was I wrong?
No. This is
okay,
possibly the... I'm on your team here. This is possibly the most idiotic way to run the world's biggest economy. Markets want certainty. Businesses want certainty. Consumers want some sense of evidence that Washington is not broken. And Washington is giving them none of that at this point.
Sudeep, our government is broken. Discuss.
Yes, it's been broken for a while.
This is the wrap of one-word answers. This is amazing.
Look, we've become accustomed to broken politics and vicious partisanship, and I think we've really just become accustomed to the reality that government isn't likely to deliver what you want, which is some big, uplifting, hopeful burst of energy to drive the economy. That's not what drives the American economy, and I kind of think of it as a good sign that we could go through these silly episodes every few months or every few years and come through it in a relatively decent shape. It's not good, but it's a system that's built with some protection in it.
All right. Well, let me throw a counterfactual at you here, and Catherine, I guess you'll get this one because I'll let you discuss it with Sudeep. Imagine how good things would be if the government and the economy were working right.
Yes, that would be lovely. And I'm actually concerned about not only, you know, how much can the government do to make the economy work better, but how much it can do to minimize harm. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, of the last week, the threat of a shutdown and so on. But looking forward to basically a month from now, we're going to face another impasse potentially over the debt ceiling. Yeah. And that potentially has the ability to cause a huge amount of harm, not only to the national economy, but to the global economy and global financial markets, if in fact Congress and the White House cannot get their act together.
Sudeep, the discussion this time around has been DACA and immigration and CHIP, the health insurance program. It's important to emphasize here, we are talking about the budget for the entire federal government, of which we do not have one.
Exactly. And we all remember when the discussion used to be about Obamacare and we had a shutdown and when we were talking about Dr. Seuss on the Senate floor, all sorts of things in the prior shutdown episodes. These are not necessarily decisions that are just about economic behavior. That's the nature of our government. That's why this is all quite depressing. But we've become used to it. Maybe there's a silver lining that we've braced ourselves for this stuff.
You keep saying that.
Just I'm trying not to be depressed by it all. But we've gone through decades of this now. Decades.
Yeah, that's true. We have. Catherine, you mentioned the markets. They want certainty. Businesses want certainty. And yet today, you know, the markets were up and things are proceeding apace. I know I conjoined government and the economy, but is it possible that a large chunk of this economy has just dissociated itself from the insanity in Washington?
Yes, you know, potentially Sudeep is right. Markets and the economy and other actors in the economy are sort of shrugging off dysfunction in Washington. What would have been potentially market-moving statements by the president, by members of Congress, those kinds of impasses, fights, inflammatory remarks, what have you, are not having the same kind of resonance throughout the economy. And maybe that's a good thing. But on the other hand, you know, you could imagine that you would still want some credibility from our government and from our leadership should things go south. You know, maybe it's a good thing that markets don't react so much when they do bad things, but you still want them to have the credibility so that when you want to look to them for leadership, they're there to provide some reassurance. And right now, as you said, the economy is doing pretty well. But yeah, you could imagine different scenarios.
Well, to that end, Sudeep, I want to turn here in the minute we have left to give Donald Trump credit where credit does seem to be due. I'm talking now about the Apple announcement this week of that big repatriation of money, the investment they're making. Other companies are making investments and bringing back money. They're giving workers bonuses, and some are getting raises. Is it time, really, to start talking about the Trump economy on a net positive basis?
Absolutely. A huge swath of corporate America cares about two things: lower taxes and fewer regulations. And Donald Trump either is delivering or has delivered both of them. Now, I don't necessarily think either one is going to be a paradigm changing changing shift for all these companies. But there's real economic activity that's supported from it. And there will at least be a burst of activity in the short term as a result. Whether any of this matters in the long term is, of course, the big question. And nobody has a meaningful answer to that at this point.
Sudeep Reddy at Politico, Catherine Rempel at The Washington Post. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.